This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. This is our podcast for early August. What we're doing, what we anticipate will be going on for the next month, both in the trout and the bass, the flies that are effective, the techniques that are effective. Let's start out with our trout podcast. By this time of the summer, both the grasshoppers and the crickets are both large enough to bring up the largest trout we have in the stream. Now, since these are both land-borne insects, you can normally expect to catch your best action right tight to the banks. But let me tell you about a couple situations that I ran into that came out smelling like a rose that are entirely different. I was fishing Big Spring up in Pennsylvania. This time of the year, thunderstorm moved in late in the afternoon, and it was really threatening like crazy. Well, the rain never did mess us up, but the wind was just fantastic. Wind was coming in from the north, northwest over there, blowing by down across those hills on that side of Big Spring. Started blowing grasshoppers off that bank down into the stream. And Big Spring, as you know, is a tough stream to get them up on if there's no hatch. However, those hoppers blowing in there brought big trout up from the undercut banks and around the grass beds out in the island. And I took big trout after big trout after big trout on those hoppers that were coming down in there in the chum line. That fall, well, I should say later that month, I was on Henry's Fork of the Snake out in Idaho. I was fishing the ranch water. Same thing happened out there. That day, I had waded across the river there at the ranch, and the wind was coming in off that north side, and again, it was blowing grasshoppers in like crazy. 20, 30 feet out in the river, and I just had fantastic fishing there. I like Ed Shanks' Latorte hopper. Ed's hopper down along through there was terrific, and I've had a similar thing happen on the fire hole below Nez Perce. But let me tell you another little trick. On streams like the fire hole, where a lot of those fish hold back under the banks, I do a technique that Charlie Brooks used to think I was crazy. I walk the bank with those hoppers downstream below me, just kind of jigging them, and bring up some fantastic fish. And that also works over on the ranch water on Henry's Fork. Now, normally because of their proximity to the bank, the upstream dead drift with a slight twitching action is going to be your best bet on those larger streams. I've only seen it a time or two, but once in a while I'll see swarming grasshoppers in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And when this happens, those brook trout turn on like crazy. When you see it, you'll think it couldn't be, but you just watch the water and you'll see what's going on. So just keep an eye out for that. Now, crickets differentiated from the hopper. I still like Ed Shanks' cricket best of all. The cricket kind of gets up earlier in the morning. So often, early in the morning, I'll start out with the cricket rather than the hopper, and I find this is most successful. Either fishing it upstream dead drift, fish it with a slight twitching action, whatever seems to work on that. Now, last month I was talking about these change of place flies I'm playing with, and they are effective still to this date and will be all the way through September. The house fly, with its spent wings, will bring trout up that are going to pass up an Adams house and lot and everything else you're going to throw at because they have not seen this silhouette. So the house fly, just covering the water or working to rising fish, is effective. The oak worm I do real well with where there's kind of down timber along the bank. Remember I was telling you how these get down inside the bark along the bank? That is effective. The moth at dusk in the evening is outstanding on these mountain streams. So don't overlook those change of pace flies. Now let's talk about the smallmouth bass. Yesterday evening, I had the largest bass I've had in many, many years. What's happening? The minnows are always in the tails of the pools where they just water running from, a foot deep up to, say, 3 feet deep. The minnows are always back in there. However, the bass don't appear to be comfortable in those shallow tails until you get a low light level. For my schedule, that means 7 o'clock till dark in the evening. So what I do, I use the Murray's Floating Chub and the Murray's Floating Dace. I wade into the riffle below the tail of the pool. I turn and fish upstream with those two patterns, dress them with silicone cream, dry fly floating, and dress the leader, and just fan those around. Now, if I see fish swirling or anything like that, I'll go one-on-one with those. Otherwise, I'm wading up through the tail of the pool and fanning my cast all the way across the pool. It just astounds me how I'll catch bass that are very big bass coming out of water that's a foot deep. Now, I'll keep wading up into the tail of the pool. I'm wading upstream now, wading up into the tail of the pool as far as the depth of the water lets me. I'll kind of stop when I get into about waist deep, but I'm still fanning those cast around all over the place. Now, one thing that'll be a little tricky on that, it's not at all unusual to see a large bass, the wake of a large bass coming from 5 to 10 feet away. Pretty tough to time the strike on that. If you hit him too soon, you took it away from him. If you wait too late to set the hook on that guy, he's going to spit it out. The best way I've found to set the hook on those guys that you see coming is wait till the commotion is right on the fly. Then I hit him with the line hand and hit him with the rod. But that is very effective in those shallow tails. Now, once I hit that water that's too deep to wade, I'll move over to either the right bank or the left bank and still keeping upstream. I'm still going upstream, still fishing those floating chub minnows and floating dace minnows. But fish them right up along the bank, along the bank, along the bank till daylight gets me, and then I call it quits for the day. But this is a very effective technique. We are still picking up some large smallmouth bass on crayfish, the Murray's crayfish, by fishing it upstream with a swing nymphing technique right down along the stream bottom where you've got boulders ranging from, basketball size on up. There are a lot of big bass down there feeding on those crayfish, and the swing nymphing technique will let you run that thing right down their throat. Now, remember on that, on swing nymphing, you're trying to feel the strike. You're not watching indicators to see it, and you never, ever mend on this technique. This is Charlie Brooks' old Brooks technique, and it is very effective. So be sure and work some of those deep cuts with those Murray's crayfish. That'll pretty much get us through this month. If you have any questions, give me a ring. I'm at 540-984-4212. And as we have been doing in the past, about the middle of the month, I'll come on here and answer a lot of your questions. So if you have any concerns, just give me a call and I'll be glad to help you. Thank you very much.